Welcome to the Ramble Room. We do live in fascinating times. As many of you know, our nation, in fact, the entire world, has been in the grasp of a pandemic. The extent of that pandemic might be open to debate depending on whom we choose to believe. That's not the subject tonight. Over the last few days, the Wyoming legislature has been in special session. They called this session themselves because the Wyoming governor was unwilling to call us into session. And the purpose of this session was to try to counter some of the, what I would determine, or what I would call, overreaching federal mandates. The initial reason for trying to do this as quickly as we did, they set up different rules trying to, in effect, curtail the way that the legislature would operate to speed things up a bit so that prior to the 1st of November, when large businesses were reacting to anticipated federal mandates stating that if you, an employee, don't have a vaccine, you're going to be asked to leave your job, a number of legislators got together and said, we need to try to do something to preempt this overreach. So they got together and they managed to accomplish the calling together of a special session of the legislature. On the very first day, the intent was to try to employ some special rules to try to shorten the process. And that, frankly, is what a lot of this show is about. It's about the process. It's about the quorum. It's about respect for the process. It's about how things are done and why they are done the way that they are done. At the end of the first day, it was determined that the legislature would continue to meet, but that they were not willing to incorporate a number of curtailed rules. The gist was, if we're going to do this, let's do it right. Let's do it the way we've always done it. Let's do it according to those rules. And so therefore, this session is going to last a week to 10 days. The results of this session will come out after some of these mandates might come into force. And how that will all play out, we have yet to see come Monday. During this process, on the first afternoon of the session, a friend of this show, and frankly a friend of mine, Representative Chip Nyman, House District Number 1, stood up to speak. I want you to hear what he had to say. I think it's important. I think he states a lot of the case very well.
Representative Nyman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I haven't really spoke up through the course of the day because we were kind of watching this play out. I haven't been through a special session before, kind of laying this out, trying to better understand how this works. But I will speak on behalf of the people that I represent in District 1. They sent me down here to do their business and represent them in this legislature. I've heard multiple times today where this is, I've even heard the word inconvenient. I guarantee you it's inconvenient. Losing your job is very inconvenient. I personally will not be losing my job if this mandate goes through. I don't know how many people in this room have the possibility of losing their job and changing their livelihood because of the passing or the not passing of this legislation or the opening or the working of this session. But I know folks in my country that are going to lose their jobs. And they're good at their jobs. They're good at them today. They'll be good at them right up until the day that they say, I'm not willing to take the chance on a vaccine that I do not feel comfortable taking. Sorry. You are no longer able to fulfill your responsibilities to this company or whatever. I've got people telling me that it's not just the fact that we're not willing to give up some of our freedoms and set aside some of our issues or our personal beliefs. People are telling me that, listen, Chip, he said, you know what? If this thing goes through, I have 14 employees. My 12 of my 14 employees will leave. I am officially out of business. I have another lead person that come to me and said, you know what? If this goes through, I will lose all of my employees. And he is in an assisted care. He said, I will have to make arrangements to send these people home, back to their families. Talk to another constituent that said, if this thing goes through and you guys don't act, it's not just that my mother is not going to be able to be in that assisted living anymore. I have to quit my job to take care of my mom. And I think it takes a lot of nerve to sit down here and say, boy, you know, guys, this is darn inconvenient. Try figuring out where you're going to come with home with the money to pay your bills. Granted, there's a lot of job opportunities in Wyoming right now. How many of us want to go and cross over and train to another type of job because we're not comfortable taking a vaccine that has been ordered under an emergency mandate that we really don't know? And I defy any of you in here to come up with any honest answer to the fact that we do know what will happen if you get this injection long term. Average vaccines take from 10 to 12 years to get them into circulation, tested on animals for years previous to, and then into humans. And I know you've all read it, and I'm not telling anything you don't know. There's crap out there from both directions. There is. You can make a justifiable argument for anything you want. But here's what I do know. We fought to get out from under British rule because we said, you can't make me do that. I'm not going to do it. I want representation. I want to be able to hear all the information. I want to be able to make a good and well-founded decision. And our Constitution and our state clearly clears that up for us. In Article 1, Section 38, it says it. We have a right to our health care choices. Lady came up to me and says, yep, you got a right. You got a right to lose your job if you don't take this shot. I don't know about the rest of you, but that drew a knot in my guts. Freedom is choices. And are we really going to be so inconvenienced that we would take away the freedom of people to be able to hold on to their livelihoods because they're not sure about the safety or the long-term effects of a vaccine that I defy, again, any of you to tell me what's going to happen to the people that have taken it 10 years down the road and who's liable? I've also heard that the other vaccine that has been signed off by the FDA is not being released. We're still under the vaccine that's under the emergency release. Because liability comes with that. So we're holding that back. And now the next step we look at, and I don't mean to belabor this point, and I appreciate the time, Mr. Speaker. What are you going to do when they come down and they tell you kids have to be shot? Moderna and all these are vaccine companies and all these folks are saying, now we got the answer for that. You've got a 1 in a million chance as a child of dying of COVID-19. Over a 99.6 or 7% chance of recovery. And now, potentially, they just picked a number out of the air, 100 people. If you got 100 folks in your business, guess what? You're gonna require this, or I'm gonna find the guts out of you. I'm gonna break you. Because it's for everybody's health and safety. Okay, that's great. We sit here and we knuckle under and we take that and then we go, hey, by the way, we're going to move that to 50. Oh, let's go to 10 because we're not getting enough compliance. Who's next? Thank God you're not affected right now, but who's going to be there to speak up for you when it comes to your door? And boy, if you can't tell in the past 18 months, if it's not on its way speedily to your door, you're living in some other world. Please vote to keep this session in. Do not vote to adjourn. Though I am sorry that you are inconvenienced, guess what, folks? When you took on the responsibility of running for this legislative office, you took on the responsibility of doing the people's work. I got crap that I can't catch up. Weather takes care of my stuff. I won't get a chance to go back and make up, but I'll be here. I'll stay as long as it's necessary to address these issues and to provide the protections that our state deserves, our people deserve. We're legislators. That's what they've called us to do. Please do not vote to adjourn. Let's do the people's business.
However, some people took offense. Did you take offense to that? Well, apparently a couple of people do. Representative Art Washup is on the record of stating that he was offended by this. And so Representative Nyman returned to the podium to offer an apology for using the word crap.
Thank you. So I'm going to return to a member that spoke previously because he has a mention to make to the floor. So Representative Nyman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a brief. I was made aware that I used a couple words in my discussion there that were inappropriate on the floor. So I just wanted to apologize to the body there. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to do that. And next time I will use the word manure instead. So, all right. I'm used to that up at home. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. As a large animal practitioner, I was not offended, but I appreciate that it is not proper decorum.
Now, many of us might agree with Speaker Barlow that we were not particularly offended, but I want to point out that the decorum of the House of Representatives holds a very high standard, and I also want to state that I respect that standard. I'm challenged by watching these sessions and feeling the emotions well up within me and thinking about what would I say if I were there. There are a number of things that, quite frankly, I would like to say, but I must bite my tongue. I must hold my tongue. I must appreciate the decorum and the high standard to which this body is called. Now, I would confess, many of you know that I'm a preacher, and I've spent many, many hours behind a microphone in front of a congregation preaching the Word of God. At times, I become impassioned. In that passion, sometimes words that are, I guess, built into one's subconscious just have a tendency to float to the top. I'm not proud of that, but that is a fact. There was a point once when I even dropped the F-bomb from the pulpit. Now, I guarantee you, if you're preaching in a church and you happen to use that particular word in a sermon, it's not going to be well received. I should never have used it. And yet, in the heat of passion, sometimes the language that has been programmed into us has a way to find its way back out. And I'm quite confident that most of you listening to this will understand what I'm talking about. We would pretty much all agree that that's not the best terminology to be used, but there are very few of us that could raise their hand and say, I have never used such a term. As the debate went on over the ensuing days, the former Speaker of the House, Representative Harshman, was unable to make it to Cheyenne and was allowed to participate in the discussion via Zoom. At one point in the discussion, he became, quite obviously, a little bit upset with some things that another friend of this show, Representative Chuck Gray, had said. Representative Harshman got up from the computer. You can see it if you go back and you watch the video. He got up from his computer and he walked away, and I think he honestly felt like he wasn't going to be heard. I caution you, if you have children or someone who is easily offended within earshot of this, you're not going to want to hear what he's about to say. But this is what he said.
Chuck Gray, little fucking tiny.
Okay, that's offensive. That should not have been uttered on the floor of the House. And yet, due to modern technology, the former speaker's words were broadcast across the House. It caused quite a stir. There are a number of people considering different actions against the former speaker, some of which I may agree with, some of which I may not, but that really doesn't matter. We'll let the House go ahead and police its own. The following morning, which, as I record this, was this morning, the fourth day of the session, at the very beginning, current Speaker Eric Barlow began the session this way.
The House will please come to order. Members of the 66th, please come to order. Members, this morning I'm going to take things a little bit out of order because I don't want to leave something undone from yesterday's business before we begin today's business. On behalf of the citizens of Wyoming, members of 66, on January 12th, you asked me to be the Speaker of this House. I requested that privilege, and you granted me that. I take that seriously. I told you I would concentrate on two things, our process and relationships. Those two things are dependent on decorum. And yesterday, whether intentional or inadvertent, there was a breach in that decorum, a conduct unbecoming of a member of this body. I grant you this room is an octagon, but we battle ideas, not each other. And we certainly don't impugn each other. Only 60 people right now have the privilege to sit in this chamber. We also have the responsibility to hold ourselves and each other to the highest of standards. We don't have to like each other. We don't have to even maybe trust each other. But it is incumbent that we respect each other.
This is the apology offered in person by former Speaker Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the 66th, I drove down this morning to apologize to all of you as a group and a body and our staff, and specifically to Representative Gray. What happened yesterday was a breach of conduct on the floor of this House, and it's not acceptable. And I come here to apologize for that. While attending remotely yesterday, as kind of the passionate debate, which we all know, I stepped away from my computer. I thought the audio was on, and I murmur some cuss words to myself, which were degrading to Representative Gray. And so those vulgar words then were broadcast on this floor. And so then that is a breach of decorum on this floor. And we've all worked very hard to keep that decorum. And so I apologize for that. It's wrong. And I know better than that. And so, you know, as we move forward, you know, and that's part of this deal when you're in a people thing. You have people that create distractions sometimes, and I apologize for that distraction because we got real work to do for our people. And so as we move forward, again, I just want to really sincerely apologize to all of you, and specifically to Representative Gray, and I hope you can accept my apology for this, for my breach of decorum. It wasn't right. And it won't happen again. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Now, I'm not here in any way trying to judge the veracity, the honesty, the anything else. The whole thing is an unfortunate incident. Should never have happened. It's embarrassment to the entire legislature. It is a distraction from the work that they are trying to accomplish. I want to put some things in perspective. I've sat and watched hours of legislation. I've watched speaker after speaker get up and passionately address an issue and struggle with following the decorum, with not letting an ill-advised word slip out. I have watched people testify that I vehemently disagree with, and yet have grown to respect who they are and what they may be trying to accomplish. We have different worldviews. Some of these people, I think, are absolutely nuts, but we must respect the process. Our founders, as they established the rules of decorum and laid out how things are to be done in these hallowed halls, we're genius. It's really easy for those of us that are on the outside of the legislature to look at legislators that we disagree with to resort to name-calling, to demean them in our own minds, to think that maybe they're idiots or whatever other derogatory term you might apply to them. But in watching intently over the last year or two how the House operates, how the Senate operates, how the entire legislature functions, I have come to a much greater respect for the process, to appreciate that, and if I am granted the opportunity to go into those halls, I'm going to bear that responsibility, and I hope to bear it well. In closing, I want to leave you with a couple of sound bites. The first one is from Representative Lloyd Larson, not a representative that I often agree with, but in this case I did.
That's kind of how I'm laying out this, and those of you that disagree with me, I appreciate your thoughts, and I respect your thoughts, respect your opinion. I respect the efforts that have been made on this conversation over the course of the week. Here we are, and in a little bit we'll know what's going to happen.
And I also want to leave you with a little sound bite from, again, my friend Representative Chip Nyman, who has apparently learned his lesson, at least for today, about how to say certain words on the floor.
I guess, you know, and I do, I appreciate the dilemma that we're in here. I mean, we're trying to figure out how to balance between multiple different issues. But I guess, you know, the thing in this that just gives me a real heartburn is that there's no implication that we're all on the same level playing field. Our businesses are being squished by somebody that holds the scales and also puts their thumb on the scale and pushes down. And the businesses and the individuals that occupy those businesses don't have, I mean, yeah, I guess you do. You have options. You can either agree or disagree, accept or reject. But I guess that's my heartburn in this. You know, and I mean, you guys have probably picked this up. I try to speak from my heart. I'm not up here to try to, you know, to give anybody HE double toothpicks. It's just the fact that I just want us to have the ability to be able to retain our rights as American citizens.